So I don't know how many of you did, but I watched snippets of the Queen's funeral this week. I've been to the UK, I know people that live in the UK, and I've always admired the Queen. I've read lots of things about her this week, and I hope that they are true. One of the things that I read was a quote that she made. She said, "I hope that I am alive when Jesus comes back again." And when asked why, she said, "Because I want to lay my crown at his feet." It's a powerful thought, isn't it? And as I watched the funeral, we don't have a point of reference for a monarchy here in this country. We call ourselves a democracy, we're really a republic, but we like to know everything, and we've gotten to be quite casual as a culture, I think, when people go to coffee shops in their pajamas, and, you know, it's just different. And so I watched this whole ceremony of this funeral and all that surrounded it, before, after, during, and was just mesmerized by the beauty of it, for one thing, and the protocol of it. And although I didn't understand it all or had a point of reference for it, I'm like, people looking at this, if they just tuned in and didn't know what was happening, they would know this is a monarchy. This was a queen. And even the way she carried herself, even if you didn't know who she was, she carried herself a certain way that you knew that she was something special. And as I was watching and as I was pondering that, the Lord began speaking to me about kingdom. That is honestly never too far from my mind. I think about the kingdom a lot. But he began speaking to me in this context. And he said something to me, you know, there's lots of kingdoms throughout the world, not just the British in Britain, but all over the world there are kingdoms and there are monarchies in many, many countries. But what he spoke to me is there's really only two. There's really only two kingdoms. In the book of Revelation, in chapter 10, verse 15, it says, "The dominion, the kingdom, the sovereignty, the rule of the world has now come into the possession and become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And he shall reign forever and ever for the eternity of the eternities." The kingdom of this world will become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. I love that picture. Those are the only two kingdoms mentioned, because those are the only two kingdoms there are. There's the kingdom of this world, and there's the kingdom of our God and of his Christ. And the two right now exist simultaneously. But someday, according to Revelation, there will only be one kingdom remaining forever and ever for the eternity of the eternities. So the kingdom of this world has a king. His name is Satan. And the kingdom of God has a king. His name is Jesus. Two kingdoms. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, Luke writes this, starting in verse 2. "Just before he ascended into heaven, Jesus left instructions through the Holy Spirit for the apostles he had chosen. After the sufferings of his cross, Jesus appeared alive many times to the same apostles over a 40-day period, proving to them with many convincing signs that he had been resurrected. And during these encounters, he taught them the truths of God's kingdom." So here's Jesus. He lived, he died. In some translations it says, after his passion. It's the only place that word passion is used. After his passion. He hung around and he talked to his disciples, and what he did was taught them about the kingdom. And he knew he would soon be going back to heaven and leaving them, not to be seen again until he returns someday. And he thought it was important that he taught about the kingdom. And the disciples, sadly, still didn't get it, because over here in verse 6, it says, every time they were gathered together, they asked Jesus, Lord, is now the time you're going to free Israel and restore the kingdom? They were still thinking it was a political thing that he wanted to do, and it was not. The kingdom is never about politics. Now, please hear me. I think you should vote. You should be in politics if God's called you to do that. But the kingdom of God is not about politics. The kingdom of God is about establishing that kingdom here and now. And so Jesus used that last time while he was with them, saying, I want to, these last few days that I've got before I go to my Father, the thing, the most important thing I want to talk to you about is the kingdom. And that should be also our most important thing. In Matthew, it says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. And everything else, everything that you'd like to be worried about, that you think you need to be thinking about, will come if we seek first the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is meant to infiltrate the world. God does not intend to change our culture. He intends for the kingdom to infiltrate the world. He intends for the culture of the kingdom of God to take over. And so when I'm saying about not changing our culture, it means it's a spiritual thing, again, that the kingdom will take over the world, and someday it will be a work done, but right now it's a work in process. It's a work that's happening, that the kingdom of God is coming. He says that we are in this world, but we're not of this world. We live in this world. We're called to live in this world. Millions of billions of people live in the world, but if you're a believer, it says you're not part of the world. You're a sojourner. You're a pilgrim. You're just passing through until the time that you go to live with the Lord forever. You're in the world, but you're not meant to be part of the world. Some people have taken that to an extreme. We know there are kind of sub things where people dress very, very differently, or they will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus said, pray for that to happen, that the kingdom of God would come to earth and look like heaven. That the earth would begin to look like heaven. We have some work to do for that to happen. His kingdom is an eternal kingdom, as we read in Revelation and again in Daniel. There's some beautiful scriptures in Daniel chapter 7 that talks about the kingdom of God coming and being an eternal kingdom. His kingdom will never, ever end. We don't have a point of reference for eternity. We're so time-oriented that to think of things being outside of time or eternal is a hard concept to get a hold of. But his kingdom will never end. And that eternal kingdom is meant to be part of our world today. Now, unlike the royal family, we don't inherit positions. We have to make a choice. We're born into one of the two kingdoms, and then we make a choice to enter in to the other kingdom. It's a decision that we make. It doesn't just happen. It's a decision that we have to make. So I want to just look at a few things here. These are basic things. They're not very complicated. There's going to be a part two to this sermon later, maybe in October. But to give you just an overview tonight, the first thing it says, if you want to be part of this kingdom here on earth, you must be born again. You must be. In John 3:13, you know the story. Nicodemus had been interested in what Jesus was saying, and he took him aside, and he asked him some questions. And Jesus answered him and said, I assure you most solemnly, I tell you. I love this language. I assure you most solemnly. Jesus is saying, this is important. I'm assuring you that this is true. That unless a person is born again, born anew from above, he cannot ever see, know, be acquainted with, or experience the kingdom of God. We can't even get our foot in the door of the kingdom of God unless we've been born again. Being a good person is not enough to be part of the kingdom of God. If it was, Jesus died in vain, because he paid for those things. He became our sin so that we could become his righteousness. It says that our hearts are wicked, that we are born into the kingdom of this world. And at some point, we have to make a decision and say, I want to be born again. Not from my mother's womb, but in a spiritual sense. That which died with sin, that spirit relationship with God that died when sin came into the world, needs to be resurrected in each of us, because our relationship with God is spiritual. And so we have to have a spirit that's alive to be able to communicate and to have relationship with a living God. Let's look at just a couple of other scriptures that say it very clearly. In Ephesians 2. God bless you. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians is one of my favorite New Testament books. Ephesians chapter 2, it says, starting in verse 1, and you, every one of you, he made alive when you were dead in your trespasses and your sins, in which at one time you walked habitually. You were following the course and the fashion of this world. You were under the sway of the tendency of this present age, following the prince of the power of the air. You were obedient to and under control of the demon spirit that still constantly works in the sons of disobedience, the careless, the rebellious, the unbelieving, who go against the purposes of God. Among these, we as well as you once lived and conducted ourselves in the passions of our flesh, our behavior governed by our corrupt and sensual nature, obeying the impulses of the flesh and the thoughts of the mind, our cravings dictated by our senses and our dark imagings. We were then by nature of God's wrath, children of God's wrath, and heirs of his indignation. Those are strong words. Children of wrath and heirs of indignation like the rest of mankind. This is the kingdom I'm talking about. The kingdom of this world. But God, so rich is he in his mercy, because of and in order to satisfy the great and wonderful and intense love with which he loved us, even when we were dead by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he made us alive together in fellowship and in union with Christ. Listen to this. This is, if you haven't guessed, this is the Amplified. He gave us the very life of Christ himself. In the same new life with which he quickened him. For it is by grace, his favor and mercy, which you did not deserve, that you are saved, delivered from judgment, and made partakers of Christ's salvation. He raised us up together with him and made us sit down together, giving us joint seating with him in the heavenly sphere by virtue of our being in Christ Jesus, the Anointed One. This is new birth. This is who we were, children of wrath and inheritors of indignation. And because of his great love, even as Alan shared in communion, because of that, we have been transformed and we are given a seat in the heavenly places with Jesus Christ himself. This is the kingdom I want to be in. Not the first part. I lived in that kingdom for 25 years of my life. And the last 50 years have been much better because I switched. I switched kingdoms. But we all, if we want to even be part of the kingdom, we must be born again. It is not an option. And it's not just us. It is everyone in the whole world has to make that decision. I don't care where you live. I don't care what language you speak, what kind of church you go to. It's not an option. If you want to be part of the kingdom, you must be born again. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, it says, the Father has delivered and drawn us to himself out of the control and dominion of darkness and has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. We've been transferred from one kingdom to another kingdom by simply saying, Jesus, save me. Rescue me from this kingdom. The kingdom of this earth, and translate me and transform me into the kingdom of the Son of your love, the kingdom of Jesus. The kingdom of this world is darkness. The kingdom of God is light. Also in Acts, Jesus said, as he was teaching his disciples, I've got things for you to do, because I want this kingdom to come on earth as it is in heaven. But please do not try and do it on your own, because you need power from on high. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to be able to do this work. Again, I don't care how smart we are, how good we are, how much money we have. We cannot bring the kingdom to earth without the power of the Holy Spirit. It's just that simple. We must be born again. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to see the kingdom come to pass. And the Spirit of God is still alive and active today. I have not read any kind of death notice ever about that. He is still moving. He is still speaking. He is still performing miracles. None of it has stopped. It is just as vital today as it was when Jesus walked the earth. Jesus himself needed the power of the Holy Spirit to be Jesus, because he lived on this earth as a man to show us it could be done. that the kingdom could come to earth as it is in heaven through a human being. He lived as a man. It says that he set aside his deity for the time he was here and lived as a man so that we have hope that we can live the same way. If Jesus did, we can. We must have our mind renewed and transformed. It talks about that in Romans 12. That every day we must renew our minds. And especially if we've lived in the world for a minute, where you live is what you become quite often too. What you were taught, how you were raised, the culture you existed in. Our thoughts agree with those thoughts. But when we enter the kingdom of God, there's a new way of living. And our thoughts need to change. Bill Johnson says our minds are a gateway to kingdom activity. Because it's in our minds where the power of agreement happens. And the power of agreement, well, that's why the languages changed at the Tower of Babel, because God said once they agree with things, they can do anything. And now we're not to be in agreement with the world. We're to be in agreement with the kingdom of God, with the word of God, with the protocols, with the commandments of God. We have to change our mind and let our mind be renewed. And that, for me, has been a process. I was reared in a religion that did not agree with the word of God. And so I had to undo a lot of thinking. Just being in the world, I had to undo a lot of thinking. The thinking of the world is, you know, be a self-made man, climb the corporate ladder. If you've got things, you're successful. There's all the paradoxes in the kingdom. It says, if you want to be great in the kingdom of God, be a servant to all men. I had to change my mind about that, right? We have to have our thinking transformed. Because those kinds of thoughts are not the thoughts of the kingdom. The thoughts of the kingdom says, if you want more, if you want to be rich, give your stuff away. It doesn't make sense. There are many great paradoxes in the kingdom of God that don't make sense to our worldly minds. There are things that seem unusual in the kingdom of God. Jesus, who is our example, was completely dependent on what he heard from the Father. In John 5, verse 19, in the Passion Translation, it says this. So Jesus said, I speak to you in eternal truth. The Son is unable to do anything from himself or through his own initiative. I only do the works that I see the Father doing, for the Son does the same works as his Father. So Jesus had a relationship with his Father. His Father told him what to do, and Jesus did those things. He lined his thoughts up with the thoughts of his Father. He was obedient to do the things that Father told him and showed him to do. So, one day in Jesus' prayer time, let's just imagine this. Use your mind to imagine it. He's praying, and he gets a picture of someday spitting in the mud and wiping it on some guy's eyes. He had to agree with that. He had to say, yes, Father, I'll do that. You just show me when and where. Who is it that you want me to do that to? and thing after thing after thing. He saw and heard from the Father, because it says, I only do the works that I see my Father doing. It comes from relationship. It comes from being quiet enough to hear, to being removed enough from the busyness of our culture and of the kingdom of this world to see, and then to be obedient and say, Lord, whatever you show me, I will do. Whatever you tell me, I will do. It's part of the kingdom. All of us can emulate that. There's not one of us that can't do that. Any of these things. There's not one of us. If there was, Jesus would give exceptions. He didn't. There's nothing starred. There's no exceptions given. You must be born again. Do not try and do this without the power of the Holy Spirit. Have an intimate relationship with my Father, because he's going to tell you what to do. Renew your mind. These are imperative statements. I say it all the time. These aren't suggestions. They're commands. Do this. And as you do this, you will see the kingdom of God come to earth. What does that look like? What do you think that will look like? What is your expectation when we say that? And we talk about it all the time. Lord, bring heaven to earth. We want to see your kingdom come. We pray it in our meetings. We pray it to ourselves. We read it. We speak it to each other. We encourage one another. What does it look like? Different the world looks like. Full of hatred and sin and immorality and bad choices. Looks different than that. One thing about a kingdom is there's a king who rules. We don't get to decide what the kingdom looks like. We don't always like some of God's commands, because some of them are hard. Even Jesus in the garden sweat blood, saying, Lord, if there's any other way, but not my will, but yours. There's a king who rules that requires us to be obedient. But we're invited to share in the life of Christ. The kingdom looks like Jesus. The kingdom looks like everything Jesus did, because he lived out before us the kingdom of God. And we just read in Ephesians that we're raised up together with him. We have joint seating with him, and we become like him. Jesus lived out the kingdom. We've been called with the same calling he had, seated in the same place where he is, empowered by the same Spirit. We can live out the kingdom. It says it's not meat or drink. It's not what you eat. It's not what you drink. It's not the clothes you wear. It's not how you wear your hair. Valerie and I, before the service, were talking about teenagers, and my philosophy about that was, it's just hair. It will grow. It will whatever. It's just hair. The kingdom isn't any of those things. I mean, we are expected to dress modestly, and we are expected to be temperate in our eating, but that's not what the kingdom is about. It says the kingdom of God is not meat or drink, it's righteousness, it's peace, and it's joy. And so we should be experiencing all three of those things. If we are experiencing the kingdom, we should be living righteously, because that's what the kingdom is, righteousness. And that's another job of the Holy Spirit, is to convict us of unrighteousness. So I promise you, well, I'll just say he's really good at convicting me. I don't know how he is with you. But if you remember a few weeks ago, I had to repent in the middle of a sermon. That's how good he is at convicting me on the spot. It's righteousness. And so it's going to look differently than unrighteousness. We should be living in such a way that people say, how do you do that? How do you make those choices to live? How do you do that? The kingdom of God is peace. That's another thing that people will say, how do you do that? Especially when you're going through a hard time. We're not exempt from those things. We've talked about it, preached about it, you know, wilderness and suffering and all kinds of things. But the kingdom of God says that even in the midst of all of those things, you can have peace. That's going to speak to the world who doesn't have a lot of peace right now. I talk to a lot of people. They're not peaceful. They're worried. They're stressed. And they can see us in stressful, worrisome situations, have peace that passes understanding, and say, how do you do that? I'm part of the kingdom of God. That's how we do that. And what about joy? Living in relationship with the God of the universe is meant to be joyful. We are meant to have a good time. We are meant to laugh. We are meant to be full of joy. Joy is different than happiness. Happiness is determined by situations. Joy supersedes situations. Again, just like peace. How can we be joyful? I remember when years and years ago when I taught junior church, we used to make little Christmas banners that said joy, and it was Jesus first, then others, then yourself, J-O-Y, that have joy with that. But there's truth in that. God wants us to be joyful. We have something. I don't have to read Ephesians 2 again to you to say we have something to be joyful about, because we were once this, but now we're this. That makes me happy. It makes me happy not just for me, it makes me happy for you as well. That we don't have to live like that anymore. The kingdom is power and purity exercised in love. Because everything about the kingdom is covered in love. The power had better be covered in love. Purity covered in love. It is not our place to convict people of sin. It is not our place to judge people. It is our place to love them. That doesn't mean we compromise what's right. It doesn't mean that we excuse bad behavior. But it doesn't say that we play the job of the Holy Spirit either. Power and purity in love. The kingdom of God is life-changing, powerful, transformative. It brings people to new birth and freedom. There's those great exchanges that I love found in Isaiah 61, where he gives us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, all of those things, beauty for ashes, those great trade-offs in the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is also full of healing. It's full of deliverance. It's full of sanctification. All of those things are possible through the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the complete solution to the whole man. Everything you need is a man or woman, person, can be found in the kingdom of God, including your eternal destiny. When the Pharisees came and asked Jesus once again in Luke, somebody was always asking them, you know, when is your kingdom coming? When are we getting rid of these Romans? You know, we don't use the term Romans, but it could be a political party. When are we getting rid of these? Fill in the blank. It's not political, however. But it's not that. It's when are we getting rid of the kingdom of this world? Is the answer to that question, should be the question. When are we doing that? And Jesus said, don't you understand? The kingdom of God is within you. How many of you in this room consider yourselves to be born again, the first prerequisite? Okay, if you do, the kingdom of God is within you. That very thing we're talking about is inside of you. Do you ever think about that? Will you please think about that? The kingdom of God is within you. We are the house of God made flesh, it says in 1 Corinthians 3. There's no more temple. There's no more place where you go to meet with God. I mean, we come here. God doesn't live in this building, just in case you were wondering about that. He doesn't live here. But when we come together, it's so wonderful because it's the corporate expression of God in all of us that comes together. But he doesn't live in any building. He lives in you. The kingdom of God is in you, the house of God on earth. He has equipped us with everything that we need. He's given us Jesus and his blood. He's given us the Holy Spirit to accomplish those things that I talked about earlier. It says in Matthew that he's given us the keys to the kingdom. In Matthew 16, it talks about binding and loosing. Whatsoever things are bound in heaven can be bound in earth. Whatsoever things are loosed in heaven can be loosed on earth. It's a legal transaction. Is sickness legal in heaven? It should not be legal here. Is righteousness legal in heaven? Yes. Let's loose it here. Right? We can both bind and loose things. The things that heaven holds need to be legal here. We can declare and call them down. We have the power to do that. Lord, bring heaven to this situation. We've been given the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ to pray and to declare things and to call things down from heaven. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5, it says, the Father has blessed us, or in the Passion it says, lavished upon us every spiritual gift by the Holy Spirit. Everything we need for life and godliness, he's given us by the Holy Spirit. He's called us to spend our inheritance now on earth. Let's look at Romans chapter 8. Oops, wrong chapter. It says in Romans chapter 8, in the Passion Translation, it says, since we are joined to Christ, we also inherit all that he is and all that he has. That's quite an inheritance. In the Amplified, it says, and if we are his children, then we are his heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, sharing his inheritance with him. Now, there is a day coming when we will have the full inheritance. But right now, we're to spend what we have been given on earth to make disciples and call them into the kingdom of God. We're to spend our inheritance right now. We are disciples, children of the kingdom, given the job, the task, to make disciples. Disciples making disciples. We'll talk about that the next time I preach. How do you make a disciple? How do you do that? What does that even look like? What does that mean? But that's what we're called to do. We are the house of God on earth. We carry the kingdom of God within us. He has given us everything we need to be able to carry that out. Do you know our King is coming again? He came once as a baby. He was declared king once outside Pilate's gate, bloodied and mangled. Said, behold your king. But when he comes again, he's not going to be a baby, and he's not going to be a suffering servant. He's going to be powerful, coming with the hosts of heaven on a white horse. And there are days when I say, come, Lord Jesus. Come, please, or take me. Either will do. Either will do. We all have those days, don't we? Please come. Do something. But do you know what Jesus is saying to us tonight? He's speaking to each one of you. Every one of you. And he's saying, let my kingdom come. Let my kingdom come in you. Let my kingdom come through you. Jesus is interceding for us, and he's praying that prayer, let my kingdom come. Let my kingdom come, Father, on earth, just as it is in heaven, until the day I return. Let my kingdom come. I don't know where any of you are. But I know that God can give you the ability to be where you need to be to let that happen, to let his kingdom come. Not everyone in the room raised their hand when I said, who's born again? You may just have not wanted to raise your hand. But if you haven't asked Jesus to come and be the Lord of your life, to say, I don't want to live in this kingdom anymore. I don't want to live in this world anymore. I want to live in your kingdom, God. And I've heard enough tonight to, I've heard that you paid a price for me, that your blood covers my sin, that I've been made your righteousness, that I can be received into your kingdom. And if you need to do that tonight, we're going to pray. And maybe some of you have been struggling and fighting and trying and failing because you haven't been empowered by the Holy Spirit. And you haven't asked of him, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Fill me to overflowing. I need your power in my life. And some of you are struggling with lining your thoughts up with God's thoughts, of coming into agreement with the things of the kingdom, with allowing your mind to be transformed, of judging the thoughts that come to you and say, God, is this a kingdom thought? And if not, I'm falling out of agreement with it. I'm not going to agree with that anymore because I want my mind to be transformed. I'm not going to ask anybody to stand up or raise your hand, but I am going to pray. And if you need one of the things we've talked about tonight to really live fully in the kingdom of God, I invite you to pray along with me. And I just feel further that I want to reiterate that statement from Matthew that you need to seek first the kingdom of God. Some of you are trying really hard and you're seeking all kinds of things and wondering why you're still not getting ahead, that there's lack. I believe the Lord's calling you tonight to seek first his kingdom. So, Father, we just come before you. And Lord, some of these things tonight we may have heard many times, but tonight may be the night that it sinks in for some, that it becomes truth and reality for us, that it gives us a little bit clearer picture of what you're asking and what you want to do in this earth. And Father, if there are those who don't yet know you, I pray, Lord God, that they would repent of their sin. And invite you to come into their lives as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That they would be transferred from the kingdom of this world to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. I'm just going to pray a prayer. Father, forgive me. For all the things I've done that have been displeasing to you, I repent, Lord God. And I invite you, Lord, to be Lord of my life, to take up residency in my heart, to make me a child of your kingdom. Holy Spirit, We need more of you. If there are those in this room that have never invited the fullness of the Holy Spirit to come upon them, all you have to do is ask. Come, Holy Spirit. Come with your power. Fall upon us, O God. Empower us to do those things that you've called us to do, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, we pray for our minds, that our thoughts would be in agreement with you, that you would undo the wrong thinking of the world that we've inherited, that we may have walked in for many years, that you would cleanse our mind, that you would transform and renew our thought patterns, Lord God. Father, that we could be in perfect alignment with you in your thinking. Renew minds right now, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. If you're struggling with thought patterns that you know are not God, fear or anger, jealousy, lustful thoughts, I encourage you just to put your hand on your head. And just command your thinking to line up with that of the Father. Renew our minds, O God. Renew our minds, Lord Jesus. Every thought that is not of you, we cast it out now in the name of Jesus. And we pray, Father, that our thinking would be kingdom thinking. How we think about you, how we think about ourselves, how we think about others, and how we think about this world, Lord God, would line up with your thinking, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And Father, I pray that you would help each person that is your child in this room, believe the truth that the kingdom of God is within them, that they are your house, and that wherever we go, Lord God, we bring your kingdom with us. Wherever we go, Lord God, we bring you with us. We bring your house with us. To the world, to the workplace, to school, to our families. Lord, the kingdom of God is within us. Help us to get it out where it needs to go, Lord God. Thank you, Father. We bless you, Lord Jesus. Let your kingdom come and your will be done in us and through us and in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.